So it's Saturday, December 4th, 2021. I'm here with Armando Salem. And Armando, you and I first met because you're the father of our communications and exhibits coordinator, Rebecca, who is now Rebecca Martin.
That's right.
That was a beautiful wedding.
Same as your husband's name.
Same as my husband's first name, yeah. Your speech was very... So do you mind starting by telling us about your upbringing, your childhood, your schooling, where you're from, and how you got here? We'll just start at the beginning.
So I'm originally from Cuba. I was born in 1960. Damn, that's old. And in 1967, my parents were lucky enough to escape Cuba, the communism. The government in Cuba's communism. And the way that process works is you have to have somebody here in the United States that will claim you. Mm-hmm. And I forget the other word that's...
Is it sponsor?
Yes, sponsor.
Because Martin, like sponsor. My husband, had to have the same.
Yes.
He had to have a sponsor, yeah.
So my uncle, he had been in the United States for probably like 5 years before. Hmm. So he was the one that claimed us. And he was in Chicago at the time. Mm-hmm. We had, this process took 3 years for them to call our family name and say, hey, it's time for y'all to go to the U.S.
So they started roughly in 64, the process?
Yes.
And then came in, okay.
Yes.
Wow, who knew it would take that long?
And we were lucky because there's folks that waited like 8-10 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So anyway, so when I remember that day, me and my brother, my older brother, he's 13 months older than me, we were walking home from getting a haircut, and everyone, all of our friends and neighbors were like, hey, we heard that you guys are leaving to the U.S. And we were like, what? You know, we were only like 5-6 years old. And that day, they came and the government took everything. The government kept everything. All we could leave with is the clothes on our backs.
So if you left the country, the government could take all your stuff?
The government takes all your stuff. That's communism.
Wow.
And actually, I didn't even know this, but like a couple of days before our visa, or whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. came, the government comes to your house and they do an inventory of everything that you have in your house, your car, because my dad even had a car. And then when they come to tell you, hey, it's time for you to go, you better make sure that not one piece is missing or they will deny it. Yeah.
Do you remember... You were young, I understand, but
yeah.
Do you remember what your parents' reactions were to that, and did you talk about it afterwards when you were older? Like what their feelings were around?
No, I mean, that? I was 5-6 years old.
What about after, like when you've been older, if you talked about what that experience was like for them?
You know, I really haven't talked to them about that. Mm. But maybe you can,
yeah.
we can get my mom, because my mom is very clear. She's 91, but man, she knows. I mean, she knows it all.
Rebecca,
she doesn't forget.
Rebecca mentioned that she would be a fantastic mm-hmm. person to speak with about that. I would be very interested.
So
you came to, did you go to Chicago right away or?
So, when we got here, you know, a lot of people think that we came in a raft, but no, we flew on a, mm-hmm. you know, a jet, regular mm-hmm. jet. And when you get to Miami, of course, you fly into Miami first. They tell you, if you go to Chicago or Michigan, wherever they say, they will support you. They'll give you housing. They'll find you a job. But at the time when we got there, my uncle, who was in Chicago, moved to Miami. And so my uncle was in Miami, and then my mom's aunt had also been living in Miami. So when we got here, my dad said, no, we're just going to decline that support, thank you very much, and we're going to stay here in Miami with our relatives. But we had nothing, so we were dependent on my mom's aunt, their family, to support us for a while. So I think they supported us for a couple of months, and my dad found a job. My dad was a watchmaker.
Cool.
So he worked in Cuba in a jewelry store as a watchmaker, and a lot of people, you tell them a watchmaker, you think that he makes watches, but what he does is he repairs watches.
That's so cool.
So he did find a job at a jewelry store in Miami. And I think after two or three months, we found a house for rent, and so we rented. And my mom also found a job at, like, I think it was like a furniture store, cleaning furniture. And she told me this the other day, that the minimum wage was $1.60.
My goodness.
Can you believe that?
Amazing.
So she was making like $350 a month.
Isn't that crazy?
So we moved into that house, and it was great because we were right across the street from this huge park, Shenandoah Park, it was the name of it. And so my brother and I, we were in heaven. I mean, we had this humongous park that you could play tennis, baseball, football, ping pong, everything. So we hung out there all the time. Then after that, I think we stayed in that house for probably a year. And then my dad found another rental, a house in Southwest Miami. And we stayed there for another 2 years. And my dad found out about some really good opportunities in Georgia. One of his aunts was living in Georgia. And so, you know, because in Miami, it was very competitive, from what I understand, to find any good jobs that paid well. Mm. So he decided to move us to Georgia, and my brother and my sister and I were, oh, my God, it was devastating. Like, we didn't want to leave Miami.
Yeah.
Shoot. We had our friends. We had that nice park that we,
yeah.
So we were devastated. And then we had to leave our dog, too.
Oh.
Yeah. So anyway, so we moved to some apartments in Moreland Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And there is where we started networking with a lot of Cubans that were living in that same apartment complex.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, one of my best friends, that's where I met one of my best friends.
Oh, wow, that's so cool.
And so I attended Moreland Elementary School.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I don't remember if, I don't think it was a lot of African Americans living there at that time.
Hmm.
I do remember that my best friend was a little black guy.
Hmm.
I still remember his name, Daryl.
Hmm.
So I attended elementary school there until fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we lived there for probably a year.
Mm-hmm.
At that apartments, and then we moved to some other apartments, way nicer, off of La Vista Road.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, like all my Spanish Cuban friends and their families, mm-hmm, moved to the same.
Oh, wow.
So they like followed each other.
Great minds think alike.
Yeah. So we continued that friendship and supported each other. And so when we moved there, I was in fifth grade and I attended Briar Vista Elementary School.
Mm-hmm.
And so there I was fifth, sixth, seventh grade. And then from there I went to Briarcliff High School.
Yeah, because they didn't have, when you and I were coming up, they didn't have middle schools.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I didn't go to middle school either.
So it was, mm-hmm, eighth grade. You were in high school.
Right.
Which was kind of tough.
That's crazy.
I mean, and back then, you know, the bullying was, you would call it subbies. I mean,
mm-hmm,
it was tough for a lot of kids. It wasn't bad for me because I had my older brother,
mm-hmm,
and some older Hispanic friends that were attending Briarcliff too.
Mm-hmm.
Can
I ask you?
Yeah.
When you guys moved to the States in '67, were you bilingual at that point, or were you learning to speak English when you came
here? No.
So what was that like school wise? When you're in school, did they have classes, or how did you learn English?
So fortunately, the pre-K or I don't remember. They had bilingual teachers.
Okay.
It was tough at first. Very tough. Like we could do the math and stuff, but but the writing,
I've always thought, I told you before.
But like you said, I mean, we picked it up really quick, just watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're, like you said, when you're a little kid like that, you're a sponge. Mm-hmm. You absorb everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard.
And what's the age difference? You said your brother's older than you, and then your sister is?
So my sister is 5 years younger.
Than you?
Yeah.
Okay, so she's the youngest. Brother's oldest. You're in the middle. Okay. All right, so you're at Briarcliff High School.
And so, now that you said that you took Spanish,
mm-hmm,
like, I knew how to speak Spanish, and I understood Spanish, of course, but I didn't know how to write it in college. High school, it was really a joke. I mean, I was just, it was so easy to me.
Yeah.
But in college, yeah, I mean, you had to write, you know, like essays and, you know.
Oh. Where'd you go to college?
So, at Briarcliff, I played baseball for Briarcliff, and my senior year, I got offered a scholarship to play baseball for, I don't know if you remember, DeKalb Central Junior College?
Yeah, I went there.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
We have a lot in common, Armando.
Because I went and tried out. I even went and tried out to University of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess my grades didn't. I didn't have the grades to play for like a Georgia.
Mm.
So I got a scholarship to play at DeKalb Central Junior College. And at the time, I was like, seriously, honestly, I didn't plan on going to college. I wasn't the studious type. So my first 2 years at DeKalb College, I just took the easiest courses so I could make the grades so I could play baseball. After the 2 years in junior college, I get a scholarship to play in West Georgia. So when I get to West Georgia, they're like, all right, you're a sophomore, and what do you want to stay?
Yeah. So, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah. Exactly. So I would say probably half my credits, my first 2 years in junior college, those half the credits transferred to West Georgia. So anyway, I went to West Georgia, played baseball there. That was probably the funnest time of my life. I had a blast.
Yeah.
Me and my roommate, who played baseball too, had an apartment. So,
yeah,
we had a good time.
Yeah.
What else?
Did you ever decide on a major?
Yes, I had to decide. And it was business.
Business, yeah.
So the problem was that at the end of my 2 years at West Georgia, I really had like a year left to graduate.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really want to stay at Carrollton.
Right.
So I found a job at a company called Digital Equipment Corporation that you probably know it now as Compaq HP.
Oh.
Well, Compaq bought DEC and HP bought Compaq. But so after I left West Georgia, I got a job at DEC. And I lived with my folks. And I forgot to tell you that after the apartments at La Vista Road,
mm-hmm.
we moved. My dad bought his first house off of La Vista Road, where Briarcliff and La Vista intersect,
mm-hmm.
like a block from there.
Oh, wow.
I would say 90% Jewish community.
Mm-hmm.
He bought that house in the 70s for like $46,000. Nice little ranch, mm-hmm. brick ranch. Good memories. So anyway, after college, I moved in with them for a couple years, saved some money. And ended up buying a house on my own in Lawrenceville.
Uh-huh.
So lived there by myself for a year until I met Evelyn. And I met Evelyn. My roommate from college came into town. It was like a Wednesday, and he calls me up and says, hey, let's go out. And I'm like, ugh. Because I didn't really like to party anymore during the weekdays. Mm. I'll party on the
weekend.
But, and I was like, oh, all right, let's go. So we ended up, why am I bleeding?
Are you?
We ended up going to a club in Atlanta called Petrus. It was ladies' night.
Hmm.
And that's where I met Evelyn. She was with a friend of a friend that I somewhat knew a little bit. And so we started chatting, and that's how I met my wife. At a club, ladies' mm-hmm. night.
Mm-hmm. Her child?
Yes.
She was born in?
94.
94, and Rebecca was born in the Olympic. Oh, 95. I was thinking Olympics year, but she was born just before the Olympics. 95.
She was born the year the Braves won the World Series.
Woo! And again this year.
Yes. Now we just need board to fan all the way since I moved here.
I wonder how that. So do you remember how that came to be? Because you went to West Georgia, and it's, you know, were you just, was it just in the kind of the ether, like everybody liked Georgia, or how did you get to become a Georgia fan?
So, from high school, we used to make the trip to Athens for the Georgia games.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
And we didn't even have tickets. We would sit, they used to call it the railroad track, and it was like a patch of grass, it's a hill. And so we would all sit there, and of course, you know, pounding beers and tailgating.
Yeah. Very good. And Rebecca has told me that your family, your parents, and Evelyn's parents kind of all live in a general area close to each other. Is that right?
Well, Evelyn's parents live in Norcross.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents live in Lawrenceville.
Mm-hmm.
But here's something, too, that's funny. Evelyn was born in Ciego de Avila, which is the city right next to Camagüey, which is where I was born.
Okay.
And we end up meeting in a club in Atlanta.
Amazing.
And so the other thing, too, is Evelyn attended Briarcliff High School. But she's 5 years younger, so.
So you didn't get to see her.
Right.
You were already gone.
I was gone, yeah.
She got in there.
Yeah, because they lived like probably, I would say like 2 miles from our house, and I never met them. I think my parents kind of knew.
The family?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah.
Does Evelyn have siblings?
She's got an older sister.
Okay. Wow, that's such a small world, isn't it?
I think you might have seen her.
For Digital Equipment Corporation, are you still working with them? What are you doing
now?
Nowadays?
So I'm working for a reseller. The company is called Management Data Systems
mm-hmm.
International.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're a IT solutions provider.
Mm.
Like my account is Home Depot.
Oh, okay, wow.
So I sell anything IT related to Home Depot.
Oh, very good. Fantastic.
So, yeah, sales.
Are there traditions that you have within your family as a unit or within the larger family unit that when you come together? I know Christmas maybe or Thanksgiving is an obvious one, but are there other traditions that you guys have in place?
No. Christmas Eve is big for us.
Okay.
Like, traditionally, we get the whole family and friends,
mm-hmm.
and we roast a pig.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, of course, we got the usual rice and beans and plantains and yuca.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's huge.
Nice.
And actually, this year, we're going to do it at our house.
Very good. Is there anything else story-wise or history-wise or growing up that you want to share before we stop?
I mean, the only thing is that, you know, we had our little pack of Cuban friends that we always hung out with, and it was probably like, I want to say probably like 10 of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, from way back, like Moreland days, we all kind of hung around each other. And even as we were, when we were little, when it was, we were always about sports.
Mm.
Like in the summer, we were playing soccer, baseball, tennis, and you know, in the winter, it was, we played football. I mean, it's like every weekend we would get together and do that, and even during the weekdays, we never watched TV. We were always, I mean, our parents had to drag us in to eat dinner.
Yeah, we'll stop there. End of recording, 11:20.